That means, right, sunrise service is going to be really, really, really cold. So, and I think we're making the new pastor from the Lutheran Church preach. Hey, new guy, you get to preach in 20-degree weather. Have fun. Be a good time. Interesting offset. The current pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church used to be a professional gamer. Like, he played video games professionally. And now he's a pastor. God can do great things. So we're coming to the end then, because Lent starts next week, of this verses series. We kind of missed a couple, but it was fun. And this last week deals with one of these great issues of the faith. At first, it seems like it's just locked into this first century mindset. But when you begin to see how it is that we keep on applying this great struggle, you see how relevant it actually is. We counter it in this book of Galatians, where Paul is just absolutely exasperated with these good friends that he's made in the region of Galatia. And we've really all been in that emotional place that Paul finds himself at in this passage. We've all been in relationships where, you know, we enter into it with great joy, and it's a wonderful thing, and then all of a sudden our jaws drop on the ground because we just watch people do something completely and utterly boneheaded. And so this great joy brings us great, you know, great grief and sorrow. When I'm on the internet, I refer to this as head desk, which it was a hashtag before there were hashtags. So, but that's the idea. Jen, on the other hand, just calls it marriage. So it's one of... So it's just one of those, you're in a relationship that brings you joy, but man, you just want to bang your head on a wall for a while, right? That's what Paul's feeling right now. Now, here's a question. Well, what's going on that's so bad that when you read the passage, you almost get the sense of Paul literally pulling his hair out of his head? And what it is very simple. Paul spent time with the Galatians in this region, and then he moved on to other missionary endeavors. And some other missionaries came and followed behind him. And they began to tell these Galatian disciples that, you know, if they really wanted to be disciples of Jesus, you had to take a couple extra steps beyond what Paul had told them. Specifically, one step in particular, they were told that if they really wanted to follow Jesus, that all the men had to submit and be circumcised, which is something that Gentile men were not all that enthralled about. I'll let you know when you're older if you don't know. So that's the idea here. And what Paul's hearing is that these Galatian believers are actually leaning towards buying what these other missionaries were selling them. And that's what was driving him into these fits. And like I said, this seems like it's a first century issue, that it's locked there, because we don't quite understand the problem at this point. We've had 2,000 years of going, yeah, circumcision is not all that big of a deal, to fully get what the Galatian believers are going through. But here's the thing. If we have ever been in a place, socially or emotionally, where we wanted to fit in so badly that we would do almost anything, you can empathize with these believers in the region of Galatia. You need to understand, these folks are not God's people. They're not the people God took up out of Egypt and brought to the promised land. They're not the people who were descended from Abraham, to whom the covenant was given. It wasn't the Galatians who had received God's son when he entered into the world. In fact, they weren't even monotheists. They didn't worship the God of Israel. They probably were polytheists. They probably worshipped a whole bunch of Greek and Roman gods before Paul had brought them the gospel. And so what they're struggling with here is not an easy thing. It's first century peer pressure. You know, just say no. They're wrestling with this idea. They know they don't have all the credentials as God's people. And so when other people show up in their midst who do have all those credentials, they think, well, maybe to be with them, I need to do the stuff they tell me to do. You ever been in a place like that? In our culture, we call it high school. But there was more at stake than the Galatians understood. And Paul unpacks it for them here. First off, he uses a little bit of hyperbole here. He says, if you submit to circumcision, Christ has no value to you at all. Like I said, a little bit of hyperbole there. But what he's saying is this. If they actually submitted to circumcision, if they decided that they needed to do something other than what Christ had done for them to be entered into the kingdom of God, then what they were saying is that the work of Jesus in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection really wasn't enough. They had to do something more. Paul, this did not compute. Remember Paul's history. He gave up his entire career in order to follow this Christ. He gave up his standing among his own people in order to follow Christ. For Paul, the cross of Jesus Christ could not be a partial response or a partial solution to the plight of creation. For Paul, and Christians far beyond that, the cross has to be God's final response to the problems of sin and death. And if we want to belong to Christ, then we have to belong to him, not by virtue of the things we do, but by virtue of the things Christ does and has done. Paul doesn't cover it in this passage here, but Christians do have a symbolic action that we take as we enter under the work of Christ. And we call it what? Baptism. Literally going into the work of Christ. You die, you come back to life. That's the idea. Christ's work is what matters. But there was another aspect of what about getting circumcised that the Galatians didn't quite understand. If they submitted to this procedure, they submitted to this ritual, then they were going to have to keep the entirety of the law. And what a lot of people think, kosher land, yeah, it's a kosher supermarket. It's good. What a lot of people who think is that what was going on here is that these other missionaries, people call them Judaizers, had come in, and they weren't letting the Galatians know that part of what was going to happen. They were going to plan on after the Galatians got circumcised. They said, yeah, we're fully in. They said, yeah, that's great. Now, here's all these food laws you have to keep. Oh, you're keeping the food laws. Isn't that wonderful? Don't forget to keep the Sabbath. You're keeping the Sabbath. Have you been to Jerusalem yet to offer a sacrifice? You see how the goalposts keep moving? This is what Paul was really upset about and really angry about. Because what was happening is that these missionaries, and they were doing it inadvertently, these are not bad, awful people who are following in Paul's wake, trying to make him miserable. They're literally trying to honor what God has done through his people throughout all of history. They just don't understand that as they're doing this, what they're doing is inadvertently making being Jewish more important than being in Christ. Nothing wrong with being Jewish. Paul's Jewish. All the apostles are Jewish. Jesus is Jewish. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not more important in terms of salvation as being in Christ is. That's the idea. And so what's happening is that all these other things are being added in. The centrality of Jesus to the faith is beginning to get blurred. And what Paul wants so badly for these Galatian friends is to put this Jesus back in the center point of the faith. And to do that, what he does is he reiterates all the things that he had taught them before. It's very appropriate because Lee's a Jewish preacher, Jewish, never mind. So that's the idea. Now, they'd been told by Paul, and they'd experienced firsthand that the way they long and the way they hope for righteousness, to be in that right relationship, is by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what they had experienced. And what Paul's turning to them and going, if you get circumcised, you're saying, you know, no thanks. We'll take care of this on our own, Lord. That's what's at stake here for him. See, for Paul, circumcision and uncircumcision, they don't matter. And the Galatians should have known that. Because as Paul had talked to them, as he had said, they'd experienced the power of God's Spirit. The Spirit of God had been poured out upon them. They'd experienced the joy of being included under the sacrifice and the resurrection of Christ, even though they'd not been circumcised. And if that's the case, what more could they possibly have needed than what God himself decided was enough? But this is what was going on here. The Judaizers, the other missionaries, are going on beyond Paul, and they're going, well, hold on a second here. If the ancient sign of the covenant doesn't matter, then what does matter in Christ? That's a really good question, isn't it? And of course, Paul answers it. What matters is faith working its way out through what? Love. And that's not a generic, all you need is love. It's faith working its way out in love. Faith in whom? Faith in? It's the Sunday school answer. You know, I give you a softball every now and again. Thank you. The answer, it's Sunday school. The answer always has to be Jesus. It's just one of those things, right? But that's whom we have faith in his work, in his promises, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. The more we submit to trust in him, the more we ought to see the power of the Spirit working in us to form us into an image of his love. That's the love we live out in the world. His self-sacrifice, his self-denial, his compassion. This is who we are called to be. But here's the thing. It's nearly 2,000 years later, and wouldn't you know it if we really still suffer with a desire to belong and the temptation to add things to what Jesus has done so that we can confirm that we really do belong. You know, for some Christians, it is, they do this by following a celebrity preacher. You know, every time this revival comes around, I always go, right? That's the idea. Other Christians, you know, their confirmation that they're saved is that Caleb is the preeminent, you know, set on their stereo dial. I listen to Caleb. I'm saved, right? You know, that's what goes on. Other folks, just the conference comes around town, the popular ones. I'm always at the popular conference. Have you read this Christian living book? It just came out. It's fantastic. Every disciple ought to read it. Some Christians, the thing we tack on to what Jesus has done is being part of a local church. That's how we know we belong. Ironically, there are some Christians who they believe that to be a real disciple of Jesus, they don't want anything to do with a formal church because all this is a waste of time. And then you have the people on Facebook who just say, if you love Jesus, share this picture. Those people drive me nuts. Everything else I can deal with, those people drive me batty. Don't tell me what to do. See, I've been living in Jersey too long. The reality is, we are all, each of us, in our desire to belong, very easily distracted from the sufficiency of Christ for our salvation. We always are tempted to add something to it. And what we need to understand, what we need to realize, is these additions that we put onto Christ's work can never be anything but window dressing, ever. The beginning and the end of the Christian faith is Christ and Christ alone. Nothing else we tack on can matter to that. That's it. We don't need to search for belonging. Do I hope everybody comes to church? Sure. If nothing else, I kind of like where I live, and you guys help me out with that. That's nice. I'm not quite that selfish, but you know, it's a nice thing. And it's an American thing. It's enlightened self-interest. But that's all right. I hope everybody's at church. I hope everybody comes and experiences what the hymn we just sang communicates, that mystic sweet communion with all the saints. That's what I hope. That's my desire. I hope we live together in love and proclaim that message. Would I rather people listen to, well, some of what's on K-Love? Than there's some things on K-Love I can't stand. Then what's on, you know, then some negative and nasty and awful things? Sure. But whether or not you listen to this station or that station doesn't mean you belong any more than any other Christian. The work of Christ is it. You cannot add to what's been done on the cross. You cannot bring yourself a greater victory than what has been wrought in the resurrection. You cannot belong any more than to hear the voice of Christ say, "You are my child." Because of his work, we live. And all this other stuff we do is made possible. Amen.